Again, looking forward to doing things just a little bit differently this morning. Having honored Mike and Sheree of the banquet yesterday, I talked to Mike about doing questions like this, like we did, as Troy mentioned, with the elders several months ago, and he agreed to do that, and I appreciate it. We're going to talk about some things at Westside over the last 25 years and have some fun and talk about some serious things, too, and excited to do so. Normally, this time, we would take any prayer requests. We will have a prayer here in just a moment before we get into that discussion. Is there anything that we need to mention specifically before that prayer? Anything that we need to mention specifically? I'm glad that Troy mentioned Carly's trip that's coming up, and that's a big deal. Carly worked and saved and used her own money, all of it, to pay her own way on this particular trip. And so that's a sweet deal. She's been looking forward to that. And so we're excited for her and for that trip coming up. Before we get into to this discussion, let's go ahead and pause and we'll have a prayer and then we'll get into it. Our precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the day that you've blessed us with and for an opportunity to assemble and to worship. And now, Father, to glean more from Mike and his years here at Westside. And we're so thankful for he and Sheree and for their family. Father, we thank you for the years of service and we pray that you'll provide them with many more. Father, we thank you so much for each one who is here. We're thankful for our guests and for those who have been able to make it today. Father, we pray a special blessing on them as well. Father, we are mindful of those on our prayer list. We're mindful of those that are going through difficult times in their lives with health and other issues. And Father, we pray especially that you'd be with them and bless them. Father, we again are so thankful for Jesus. We pray that we would continue to live lives that are focused in and around him and only him. Father, we thank you that we've been reminded of what it means to really be Christ-centered in our lives, to be those who are focused on the church, ultimately on Jesus. Father, we thank you again for the hope that we find in him, and we pray that you would bless our time together. And Father, we pray that you continue to bless us, and we're so thankful for you and for all that you are and for all that you provide. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so there are 20 questions, and I'm just going to sit down, and Mike is going to just stand and answer 20 questions between now and tonight, and so we're just going to do the best we can and enjoy it. So thank you again, Mike, for agreeing to do this. We really appreciate it. Question number one is, if you had only to name two or three things, what have you loved the most about serving as a preacher at Westside? Two or three things you love the most serving at Westside.
There's so many, it's really hard to just focus on two or three. But understanding the question and not taking too many liberties with it, I'll give you three. First of all, the way that Westside always responds to any challenge. It's been one of the most remarkable things to see over 25 years. What God does when you are challenged as a congregation, 100% of the time, it's just amazed me. Another thing that amazes me, and I consider to be a great blessing, is our children were young when we moved here. And so many of you have made a great investment in their lives. You have loved our kids. Both of them got married in this very building. Both of them looked at a number of senior saints here as family, as grandparent type figures. I don't think that Sheree and I could tell you how much that meant to us and means even now. but also now that grandchildren have come, to have four generations represented in worship today. What a blessing. You have allowed me as a preacher to remain with you for 25 years, and in that time, my family has grown to now I'm a Popsy and Cherie's a Mimi. You've blessed us by that, and it's not something that we take for granted. We don't take it lightly. Finally, if I were to ask what I think is the most amazing thing about Westside, I would talk about transformed lives. Think of how many people over the years have had their lives positively influenced and changed, transformed by Jesus, to where they look a lot more like Him. I think we heard some of those things yesterday, and it wasn't due to Mike Vestal. It was all due to God and by the idea of this congregation to let's try to reflect Jesus. All you can do is stand back and be amazed. That's
cool. Let me ask you this one. Outside of Bible characters, Mike, would you give us two or three people who have been a great influence on your life and work as a preacher, and what made them so special?
My mother is in this room, and I'll begin with her. I have mentioned on more than one occasion how she read Bible stories to me when quite young and couldn't read. She read them repeatedly because sometimes, although she was tired, her little boy hounded her a lot to keep on reading a story from the Bible. Finally, I had those stories pretty much memorized as she had read them to me over the years. That helped instill within me a love for God's and His Word, for God and His Word. I can't tell you how much that means to any young life. So parents, keep on keeping on with that. It will bless you. It certainly blessed me as a little boy. So my mother. I think of Johnny Ramsey, who I got to know when I was quite young. As a matter of fact, the first time I went to meet Cherie's parents, I also met Johnny Ramsey. Talk about getting more than you bargained for, not only with her parents, but with Johnny. And when I first met Johnny, I also first met my future father-in-law. And they were in my father-in-law-to-be's study at the church building. I walked in somewhat intimidated to see Johnny and my future father-in-law to be there. And my father-in-law to be is sitting at a desk. He looked like, man, the room's full of books, Bibles, encyclopedias, commentaries, etc. He looks very serious and kind of an intimidating type of person. And there's Johnny Ramsey. And to have known Johnny, I want you to know that he kind of was a slouchy dresser and very, very to the point with everything. He exchanged pleasantries with me briefly, and he said, "Why don't you sit down in that chair right there and tell this man sitting at this desk what your intentions are concerning his daughter?" And he left. He left the room. He left the room. And there is my future father-in-law sitting at his desk looking like this. Johnny would eventually be the best man in our wedding. We talked often daily, but certainly weekly for about 25 years. We went to ball games together, high school playoffs especially. He loved to do that, and I loved going with him, and we'd have some great conversations. Very unique fellow as a preacher. You heard his name mentioned several times yesterday. He was one part Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet. He was one part John the Baptizer, and he was one part machine gun. He really was. Had an incredible way to just weave scripture together. When his health worsened, I was one of the fellows that did his funeral. I had lost a best friend in so many ways. Third, Wayne Jackson. Wayne Jackson, you'll still see the Christian Courier online. Wayne Jackson was probably more like the Apostle Paul than nearly anyone that I had ever met. He had an incredible knowledge of God's Word, and no matter what the topic, he could speak seamlessly and beautifully about the topic. No matter how broad or how much variety might be involved in the conversation, he could do that. But what he has done, even now, and he's been dead for a number of years, as he has written so much that was never published, that his family is still putting out, quote, new material by him, even now. I found that to be amazing. He worked with one congregation in Stockton, California for over 50 years. To be around him, he was incredibly humble, could think well on his feet, extremely well, and had a dry sense of humor that before you knew it, you could become the subject of. Watch out. But a great man of God, Wayne Jackson.
I would say if you want to YouTube Brother Johnny, he's got so much material where you can see, even see him today. And of course, the Christian Courier website.
Both of them do. My mother has considerably less, but she's getting there.
I wanted to ask you this question. I think David and Bree, are you guys leaving this afternoon? And I wanted to make sure this was asked with Karen's here and David's here and their families. I want to ask you specifically about Cherie. How has Cherie been a particularly special blessing to you in your serving as a preacher?
When I told Johnny Ramsey that I wanted him to be the best man in my wedding, he looked at me and smiled and he said, "I want you to know you're getting the best of the litter by far." He spoke prophetically. No doubt about it in my mind. I said he was part Jeremiah, part John the Baptizer. It sounds like a man that was a prophet speaking. At least it's turned out to be that way. More than true. Cherie is the best Christian I know. Hands down. Her outlook has always been whatever the Lord wants. Whatever the Lord wants of her as a Christian lady. Whatever the Lord wants of her as a wife. Whatever the Lord wants of her as a mother. Whatever the Lord wants of her as Mike's, the preacher, and I'm his wife. Whatever the Lord wants of her as Mimi to grandkids. Whatever the Lord wants of her as a friend. Whatever the Lord wants of her as an insurance agent and part of Charlie Harris's team. Whatever the Lord wants of her. In every aspect of life. There are some things that are constant. And one is that David and Karen's mother and Mikey, Ann, and Stacy, and Ellie, and now Ava's Mimi is going to be a great Christian lady. She's always going to be thinking about others, but most of all, whatever the Lord wants. What a blessing that is to a family. What a blessing that has been to me. And what a blessing that has been to this church for 25 years. Whatever the Lord wants of her as a teacher of ladies, whatever the Lord wants of her as a teacher of twos and threes, whatever the Lord wants of her teaching a young ladies' class on Wednesday nights, whatever the Lord wants of her. And I've seen her begin that type of life every day for years with time with God. The most valuable thing in all the Vestal house is being able to get up in the morning and see her have coffee with God. Through the years, every morning, first things first, time with God, coffee with God, she would write her findings from her study, compiling notebook after notebook after notebook, coming up with songs every day that fit the things that she was studying. I could ask her, what's the song of the day? And I'll guarantee you she'll tell you what today's song of the day is. The most valuable thing in our house is the years of study that's made her the woman that she is. When she leaves, that ought to be what everyone in my family wants. That ought to be what we fight over. Not over money, not over stuff, but over her study and her time with God over a lifetime.
I don't want to get it too, you know,
too late
pile on here, but I do want to follow that up
with
parenting and grandparenting and how that has contributed and assisted you in your work as a preacher, from Cherie to parenting and grandparenting.
Oh, that's way easier. That is way easier. Parenting and grandparenting. All right. Parenting and grandparenting, it's just like preaching. Because the church is God's family. Families are close. Families have fusses, disagreements, and feuds. Even the best of them. What I have learned about preaching and doing God's work in the church is every single soul is precious. The wife God gave me, the two children that God blessed us with, the wonderful in-laws, the in-loves that God has given us, Christians, who we love very much, and grandkids, five of them. Lynn, I know it's nothing compared to you and Carol, 20. But guess what? You're going down when Thomas and Brandy get to the right age. You're going down. I think about every one of them is precious and loved. and every one of them is different. They are a unique combination, each one, of strengths and talents and abilities and things that they're really great at, maybe things that they're not as great at, but they're all ours. And I think about the fact that that's how God must look at His church. He sees so many gifts that He's given, so many talents, some other areas that may not be our biggest strengths. And He loves us and He wants us to work together. That brings me to the concept that David handled so well in his sermon, unity. The unity of the family matters. It matters in view of eternity. The unity of the church family matters too. It matters in view of eternity. It's interesting how God allows there to be a consistency in a world that's full of inconsistency, sin, and brokenness. The same principles that you think about that ought to be applicable in a marriage, in a family. The church is the bride of Christ. We are the family of God.
Now, before we leave the kids all together, I felt it necessary to say, I didn't get a chance to get back up yesterday, but I was going to tell Dave, the suit and the shoes that I wore yesterday were gifts from your dad. Is it true, Mike, that you've never bought that guy any shoes or pants or a shirt?
I wasn't wearing any.
That was just David being David. It's nearly like Troy being Troy in the elders' beginning there, because he said so many things that were sweet and true, you know, and I appreciated that he brought work and life into things, but he was just being silly when he said that the guy who transferred from Daryl's group and came to yours is really happy. No way. No, he has no idea what he's just gotten into. All right? So, you know, so with David, we like to give each other a hard time, and that's one of the fun things of being a dad and son, but it's gone to a whole new level now that he's been preaching. It really has. Thank you.
Okay, Mike, outside of your current coworker, what has been your biggest struggle as a preacher?
That will be addressed on my current coworker in one of the later questions, I can assure you. But responding to the overall question, what's been your biggest struggle? My biggest struggle has been with discouragement. And the cause of my discouragement has always been the same. My God was too small in application. Not that God was too small, but my faith or trust or application of truth about Him in my life would lead sometimes more frequently than maybe most would realize to discouragement. I'd say that that's been the biggest problem. And then taking the discouragement or the stress home. I suspect a lot of people working out in the workplace know exactly what I'm talking about. Discouragement, frustration, heartache on the job, and then the stress that it causes, you take home, and it takes you a long time to decompress. I think it probably only took me about 30 years of preaching to start to make some real inroads on those two areas together. So that's my response to your question.
I appreciate that. I just assume you leave me out of this, but would you, in 25 years, you have had a number of coworkers and different people that you've worked with in a very close way. Would you care to mention, some of those coworkers you've had over 25 years and what it was like to work with some of them?
All right. Question concerned coworkers over the years. Barbara Williams, a sweet sister in Christ who was the church secretary when we arrived. Bob Williams was one of the elders here at that time and had been for some time. Will and Karen live in their home. Interestingly enough, a home in which they brought up two daughters is now a home in which Will and Karen are bringing up two daughters. A home, by the way, that has been owned by five successive Westside members. Five successive Westside families. The stories that house could tell. Five in a row. I think of Fidel Quesada. He and Elizabeth were here yesterday and just left to go back to the Dallas area. He was one of the shepherds, but he was also working with the young people of this congregation. Fidel had a military background, but he also had just a great sense of humor and playfulness. And David and Karen, though young, got to be in Fidel and Elizabeth's home and getting to know them, and for Cherie and I to get to know Fidel and Elizabeth. It's been a blessing over the years. Fidel is just as genuine a guy. And visiting with him now, it's been some time since we'd seen each other face to face, but picking up things, you could just pick right up where you left off. And they've been gone here for a number of years. Great people. Continuing to think of coworkers, Don Mitchell. Don Mitchell is the type of servant every congregation needs. A great song leader, a hard worker, a person that did a lot of personal evangelism, taught many Bible classes. A person that just blessed a lot of people's lives. Still in this area, thank God. And I guess Don, talking about the time he spent here, Fairmont Park and Fairmont Park's predecessor, I believe, before he came here, Don has spent about 60 years serving the church here. Just a great fella. No way not to like Don Mitchell if you're around him. You really would have to work hard at it. That kind of guy. Wes McAdams came to work with our young people a little later. I thought our elders had all suffered from a stroke when I heard that they had hired a 20-year-old single fella to come work with our young people. And I got the news via an email when I was in Ukraine, not knowing a thing about Wes McAdams except what they told me. I kidded the elders for a long time afterward. This turned out to be a great decision, but lightning is not going to strike twice. Don't do this again, please. A 20-year-old single guy to work with our young people. But he did very well at that point in his ministry, connecting with our young people, working with them, and encouraging them in their relationship with God. I think our young people, to an individual, isn't that right, Thomas? Brandy, David, Karen, others who are part of that group, Bree, you would we would all be grateful for the good work that he did with our young people while he was here. And he ended up marrying one of our elders at the time, his daughter. So Wes McAdams, I think of others who've come along. Sherry Ivanhoe came along at a very difficult time at Westside. Our secretary, Barbara Williams, died. And Barbara knew everything that was going on at Westside, and we were struggling even to write checks. Because Barbara knew about all that, but no one else seemed to. Sherry Ivanhoe came on board, and Barbara had done her job and was well loved by everybody for years and years and years and years here. For you, fans of the old TV show, Barbara was a MASH. Barbara was our Radar O'Reilly at Westside. And when she left this world, we brought Klinger along, I guess. You're welcome for that, Carl. I just thought I'd say that. But she had no idea what she was walking into. Because it was very difficult. And though she only served for a little while, the time that Sherry served was equivalent to about 25 years, I suspect, because of the difficulty of the time. And we will owe her a thank you that you don't even know about, most of you, for what she tried to do while she was serving. Then Adam and Julie came here. The longer Adam and Julie are here, the more they show how smart the elders were to hire him. The longer they are here, the more that you can say that Adam is a church man. Our gifts and interests are sometimes different, but one thing we have never had any dispute about was our desire to do what was in the best interest of the church at Westside. I will forever appreciate him for that. And I don't believe it'll change.
Thank you. We're in the Bible class hour. Let's ask a Bible question. What Bible book or Bible passage has become especially meaningful to you serving as a preacher for as many years as you have? A Bible book or passage especially meaningful?
The answer to that question is the passage I am studying at the time. Whatever passage I am studying at the time. Now, I know the nature of the question, in that Adam and I put together questions like this for the eldership when we were honoring Lynn and Terry for their service some time ago. Having to pick out passages, I would pick out Isaiah chapter 40 because of the way it lifts up God. Never cease to be amazed at how it begins and how it ends in waiting on the Lord and renewing our strength. I think about Romans chapter 8 and the help that it has given me through the years. The great 8, Romans chapter 8 could be called. Every verse just so full of assurance and hope. And the older I get, the more I enjoy even more the book of Psalms. I don't know of any book that runs the gamut of life, of human emotion, of possibilities, of blessings, of failures, of sin, of hope, quite the way that Psalms does. And I don't know of any book, certainly no Old Testament book, that lifts up God more than Psalms.
So let's move outside of the Bible itself. Are there several books that you could list that have really blessed your life and your ministry outside of the Bible itself?
All right. That's a great question. And I've mentioned Johnny Ramsey, a couple of his books I think about a lot still. A book called Cover to Cover that he did where he was surveying the Bible. A book called Bible Treasures that he wrote that has about 120 pages on the book of Revelation, for example, that are just well done. Johnny had a way of saying things very simply and well, and those books would be helpful. You can get this book, Guy N. Woods, Guy Woods, Questions and Answers to the Open Forum. Volume 2, it's two volumes, but Volume 2, Elders, is available on Amazon and Kindle for $4.99. That is a steal. Questions and Answers. I would get that. I would encourage young people to get it. You may not always agree with the way that Brother Woods responds to a question, but he'll challenge you and help you. He was a great Bible student who was admitted to the bar, passed his law exams, all of that, but he never practiced. He gave himself to working for the Lord. He just has a remarkable ability to answer Bible questions concisely, clearly, well, and go on to another one. Each volume's worth its weight in gold, in my judgment. Another volume or two. Know the Bible, Frank Dunn, D-U-N-N. I've seen a number of our younger families with that particular volume. It takes you through the Bible, book by book. Very helpful. I will say this, Wayne Jackson, Rejoice With Me. It is a commentary on the book of Philippians. Jared, it's one that you want. Rejoice With Me by Wayne Jackson, Commentary on Philippians. It'll be a book that'll really help you think of how to work your way through a Bible book. One of my favorite books was written by a denominational fellow. With that in mind, still don't underestimate how valuable it is. Knowing God, Knowing God by J.I. Packer, P-A-C-K-E-R.
I've always wanted to ask you this. Bill brought up yesterday trips to the bookstore, and you and I have made a few of those trips, and I know you've gone with several, and books, and more books. You see books, you smell books. Have you ever tasted a book, Mike? Have you ever licked a book?
Take the book and eat it. I can tell a well-made Bible by its taste. By its taste.
I knew it. Thank you. Can you talk about some men who have come to Westside over the years for gospel meetings and seminars? That you think were especially helpful and beneficial, some of their series made them so special.
Remarkable men have typically come here, but we've also tried to have just good, godly fellows that did the work of the Lord too. Eloquent men, well-known men, lesser-known men, fine men, good men. I can't help again but begin with Johnny Ramsey, because he would be an impact preacher. You would listen to him preach. Milton not only would have taken his fingers and taken a boot off like yesterday, but both boots would have been taken off, and he would have been completely immodest if he was trying to count stuff to keep up with the number of verses Johnny was referring to. Because it wasn't uncommon for him to use 150 to 200 verses in a lesson. And children everywhere used to try to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and keep up with Johnny. Cherie did it when she was a child. Our children did it when they were young. Just amazing recall and ability to put passages together beautifully. Phil Sanders, In Search of the Lord's Way, an excellent preacher, great fellow to be around. Phil Sanders came here. Of course, Dan Winkler is a very dear friend. I have no explanation for the beard. I'm sorry, the scraggly beard. It's not like yours. It's kind of scraggly, but the guy starts to preach and it's excellent. Steve, it's not like yours. It's not that distinct, but when he preaches, it's wonderful. I think that John Gooch, who came here with his wife Lisa just year before last, people came to love him and Lisa immediately because they were exactly the same way here that they were everywhere else that they go. They were just themselves. I'll remember Macy here talking with them while they were here, you know, John and Lisa Gooch, and I'm sure that you just appreciated the interest and the conversations you were able to have. Younger, older, doesn't matter. You can really appreciate people like that, and he did a great job preaching too for us. A lot of individuals have come our way. Denny Petrillo did How We Got the Bible, and it was a blessing for this congregation. Denny has a great way about taking subjects that are really big subjects and putting them down where all of us can learn a whole lot. He is typically the smartest guy in the room when he walks in the room. There's no discussion needed. Most people who are around him know that. But you never know that from Denny. I think it's remarkable when you see a person with that type of academic credentials and that type of ability, and yet he's remarkably humble. Some people freeze us to death by their degrees. Denny has never put anybody to sleep because he was talking in a way nobody could understand. He's always trying to reach people where they are. He's one of the most evangelistic people I know. Those are just a few. Neil Pollard could be mentioned. Great local preacher, excellent preacher of the gospel. Preaches in Bowling Green.
Let's end with this one, Mike. Just on a lighter note, and if kids start walking in, great. But can you think of especially humorous or funny occurrences in 25 years that you've been here at Westside?
Oh, sure.
Funny things that stand out.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Some I simply cannot repeat because they border on the near crude to passing over into absolute crudeness, I'll have to tell you. But we had a deacon that was making announcements. He'd been a teacher for years. Al Sutton, his name. Al is preaching. No, he's actually giving the announcements, but it sounds like he's preaching or doing the news, especially the weather. And he mentioned our closing prayer tonight will be led by Fidel Castro. He was as serious as a heart attack, and it never seemed to hit him what had happened. I'm thinking, praise God, Fidel Castro has come to Jesus, Cuba for Christ, you know, that type of thing. Funny things that have happened at Westside. May I use Adam Orr as an example? Adam is making announcements, as he is prone to do at Bible class. You know, prayer time is about to happen. And our sweet brother and sister, Dallas and Margaret Willis. Over here, I've got Danny. Over here on the other side, I've got Carl. Adam, where did you have Dallas and Margaret Willis?
In the funeral home.
At the funeral home. Which was really funny because both were very much alive, though in an assisted care facility at the time. and I heard laughter behind me, and it's Danny and Carl who both literally fell out of their pews when they heard that. Final one, Thomas Marshall right there. This is BB, before Brandy. Oh, when Thomas was a young fella in high school, he was so shy. He could get pretty embarrassed, and I, Lord knows I'd never embarrass him, about to. We were all, the office staff was all together, weren't we, Pam? And it was like a holiday get-together meal. And Philip and Thomas often helped Pam, who was our custodian at the time, take care of the building, did a super job, all that kind of stuff. Another story. But a little waitress at the restaurant we went for the holiday get-together saw Thomas, and she started kind of flirting with him. Thomas was eating his dessert at that time, and it was banana pudding. I'd never seen a spoon move around banana pudding so fast as it did when Thomas was being flirted with by that waitress. Couldn't help but laugh. And now we look at you, and you're like the father of a nation. And it's there we'll end. Thank y'all.